Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here is your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Today, our guest is Kelly Bandus. She's a writer and a comedian. She's best known for her popular Instagram and TikTok videos, satirizing everything from millennial motherhood to social media culture. Whether she's hosting her not at all dorky Outlander support group or speaking up about things that really matter, Kelly's mission is to always empower and lift up other women, their community, inclusivity, and laughter. So that's why I wanted to invite her. I figured our community could use a laugh or two. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Karen.
So just so we know what to expect, like, are you going to be like ripping jokes or are you sarcastic? You know, like, what are you going to do that's going to be so funny?
Man, you know what I think is so funny is like most of my friends be like, you're not that funny in real life. Like it's,
that's funny.
I think that, it's more performative for, you know, creating sketch comedy, things like that. You know, I try to be funny, but I won't Chandler you if you watch Friends. I won't joke. It won't be that, I promise.
All right. Well, I'm a little sleepy. It's nighttime here. So if you say something super witty and I miss it, it's just me being tired. I'm sure you're very, very funny. Yeah.
I won't be offended. Don't worry.
So as you know that the audience who listens to my podcast are typically women, sometimes men who are recovering from a history of trauma, whether that's childhood abuse, sexual assault, domestic violence, super toxic work environments where maybe there's some harassment. Do you have anything like that to share that can help you connect with our audience or any kind of trauma you're comfortable talking about?
Sure. So I think for a long time, I was a little bit in denial about my trauma. I think that might be something that a lot of people can relate to because nothing ever overtly happened to me. I was not a victim of sexual or domestic violence. I wasn't in an accident. Nothing like that happened to me. But I was diagnosed with a mental illness, obsessive compulsive disorder, when I was 11. That began presenting when I was about 8 or 9. The way that looked was really, I won't get into all the details, but very upsetting and disturbing intrusive thoughts. So as a kid, that was very traumatic and something that I am still actively working on in therapy today. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have a lot of clients with obsessive thoughts and it's not pleasant having them pop in your head and say all kinds of things you don't really want to be thinking. So yeah, I can appreciate that being very traumatic, especially for a young child who has, it probably was a while before you figured out what was going on.
Oh, certainly. I mean, this is back in, 1995. So, my mom was at, the university library checking out books, she couldn't hop on Google and search my symptoms. So it took us a long time to figure out what exactly was happening. For a long time, I was raised Catholic. So for a long time, we just sort of called it my guilty conscience. I had this like need to purge any of the thoughts that I had. So I would sort of like confess them to her. And so we called it my guilty conscience. And it wasn't until we got an official diagnosis that we realized that, maybe there was some religious trauma kind of interwoven into that as well. Lots to unpack.
Yeah. Because I'm thinking, who wants to feel or believe that they're full of sin or, to feel guilty about? You're an innocent child. So that's, Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're here. Tell us more about what you do.
So what I do, it's sort of an amalgam of things. My real profession is that I'm a speech language pathologist. About 4 or 5 years ago, I took a leave of absence from my job and I started just making videos for the internet, just sketch comedy videos that I was having fun with. the leave of absence from my job was not to pursue comedy. It was, we were in the process of adopting my youngest son. So I took some space from work to be able to welcome him into our home. But with that, I felt like I really needed a creative outlet. And so I started making these really low budget, not very good comedy videos. And it just sort of snowballed, not in that I started getting, you know, millions of views all of a sudden, but in that I started really feeling like myself again. I think, you know, so often we get lost in whether it's parenthood or our careers or whatever it is, and you kind of forget what makes you you. And so I just sort of started gaining some momentum on realizing what made me me, and was able to keep going, keep creating. And ultimately, I've just released my first book. It's just a collection of funny essays about life and growing and becoming a newer version of yourself all the time. And so through making these comedy videos for the internet, I've been afforded this wonderful opportunity to write a book. And so now when people ask me what I do for a living, I just say I make funny videos and write funny books. And that's sort of what I have on the business card right now.
Mm-hmm. Share with our audience what the name of the book is.
My book is called Rookie Mistakes, A Grown-Up's Field Guide for Getting Your Act Together. And it's sort of the antithesis of a self-help book. it's hopefully allows people to, you know, through funny essays, realize that they're going to be growing and changing their whole life long and making mistakes that entire time. So A, don't take yourself too seriously. And B, be open to finding, you know, space in your mind to grow and change and adapt your whole life long. You know, when you're 98 years old, it's going to be your first time being a 98-year-old. You're going to have things to learn. I think so often we think there's going to be this arbitrary point in the future where we're this fully realized person, like, oh, when I'm 45, I'm going to have it figured out. I'm going to know what I'm doing for the rest of my life. And that's just not how it works. I don't know where that seed gets planted. But so the book is just sort of encouraging people to let go of self-helping their way to perfection and just kind of embracing the moment that they're in.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, especially since we know that perfection doesn't exist. Some of us still try too hard to get there.
Exactly.
So share with us your journey. You know, you went from this child that was struggling with obsessive compulsive disorder, and then you ended up with a family you've adopted. This, I'm just going with what you've shared so far.
And
And then you were making TikTok, like during that time of that journey, you were making these videos, and now you're an author. What was healing along the way? Like what guided you to be helpful to people, funny with people?
That's a really great question. I think one of the things that I've learned probably just here in the last couple of years is that there's a way to connect with people through things that have fallen apart or gone wrong. Not in the like, you know, I know there's like trauma bonding and things like that, but more so in the, I've made such a mess. And I want to welcome you into that mess and admit to you that I'm not a perfect person. And we can kind of do this together rather than, I don't know, for so long, I think that I thought my purpose was to help people get better. Like whatever it was, just like in conversation, oh, your child's not sleeping through the night. Let me tell you some advice. Or you're trying to get better at running. Let me tell you what I do. And I just found that that created relationships that felt really inauthentic, but it was when you kind of share with people what isn't working, where you're struggling. I found this to be especially true when we were kind of walking through our adoption and sharing with close friends, like what was difficult, where I felt like I was really falling short. In those moments, I really felt healing and bonding in relationships because you could be vulnerable with people. And it wasn't about keeping up this facade of perfection, but, you know, letting people in because you need help and support and community. So I think that's been really healing, just kind of figuring out how to navigate more authentic relationships. Mm-hmm. Now that I've, you know, making adult friends, which is always more difficult than making friends when you're 20, 21 in college. So yeah, I think that's been very healing for me.
Yeah. I also adopted a child, and parts of that journey has trauma in it as well, you know, for the bio mother, for the child, and even the adoptive parents, there can be some trauma along the path. Would you say that's true for you as well? Or was it?
Certainly. I mean, I think I went into adoption like a doe-eyed fool, honestly. I mean, all of the things that I know now not to do, like don't center yourself in the story. Don't overshare things about your child, you know, to fundraise, like all of these things that I don't know that you could know until you make the mistake. I mean, now I feel like there's more information out there, and adult adoptees are offering their wisdom to us now, but I just did literally everything wrong. So there's a lot of, I think there's a little bit of shame in that I just feel like, oh man, I really missed the mark on some of these things. And to your point, there is a little bit of mourning and healing that has to go on, because life, as with any child, life changes when you welcome a new life into your home. You're just like, oh man, I wish things could be like they were, or easier, or you know, this or that. And that can be really harmful, I think, when you get into that headspace. But it's, you know, also good to acknowledge when things are difficult. So yeah, I think there is some mourning that goes on even as the adoptive parent.
Yeah. Yeah. If it makes you feel any better, I used to help people with adoptions. I was working in the adoption field and I still made mistakes. So.
That does make you feel better.
A really great book. I want to throw this out for listeners as well, who may be thinking about adoption. It's called The Primal Wound. And it's a psychologist. She interviewed her adult daughter that was adopted and asked her some really poignant questions about her childhood. Like, what did I do wrong? What was good? And it was just really interesting, like things you may not guess. Like some adopted kids don't like a birthday party because it's a reminder of their birth mother severing that connection, if that's what happened. Some adoptees love gotcha days. Other adoptees, like, what are you thinking? You're celebrate that I don't have a birth family and that you got me? Like, what the hell? So, you know, adoptees are just like anyone else. They have a wide range of things that feel good and don't feel good. But I think it's awesome when we can be more aware what those possible triggers are. And it's hard to know if you weren't adopted, right?
Right. Oh, certainly. And I'm going to add that to my list for sure. I have heard of it, but I've not yet read it.
It's really good,
but it sounds like it would be right up my alley.
Yeah. It's really, really good book. I enjoyed it. Yeah. So what else can you share with us about your work and what you do?
I think that the thing that I really want to share with people about my work is that whatever it is, you know, whether you're making funny videos or, you know, whatever creative pursuit that sort of lights your fire, I always just like to encourage people to find that thing. I know it's sort of a privileged thing that I get to do, to, you know, leave a traditional 9-to-5 and follow this passion that I have. But it didn't completely start out that way. You kind of have to carve it out in the wee hours and scrape together time. And so I always just like to encourage people to go after whatever that thing is that makes them feel whole. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts about my work is that it's also offered me a chance to connect with other people through social media, other creative people, other people who just watch my videos. And I think that's been really neat. And so I think a lot of times people are hesitant to reach out to someone who A, maybe is doing what they wish they were doing, or B, someone who just kind of provides a service that gives them joy. Like, I get a lot of messages from people being like, you probably won't read this, or you probably don't care, but I will read it and I do care. And I think a lot of other people who create like me feel that way too. So if you're someone who's like, man, I really would love to put videos on the internet about whatever it is, or start a podcast, I would just encourage people to reach out to someone, ask questions, be curious, get excited about it, because more often than not, you're gonna reach out to someone who is excited to tell you about it and encourage you. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I would leave your listeners with. I mean, I could talk about me forever, but I always just like to encourage people, like, just do the damn thing if you want to do it, whatever it is. Doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
It doesn't, even if, start small and just go for it.
So what I hear you saying is, if you have a dream, what's stopping you from, you know, making a baby step towards it?
Or right.
Jump
exactly.
in. Either way. Yeah. Or jump it. Yeah.
Yeah. However, whatever spurs you to move, if you're someone that just has to dip a toe in, be that kind of person. If you're someone that likes to do a cannonball on the deep end, do that. Whatever gets you moving towards a little bit of joy or feeling most like your authentic self, which I don't like that phrase, but carries a lot of meaning these days. But, you know, I think there's a lot to be said for just taking that leap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I don't know if you know this about me, you know, some listeners get a chance to listen to some episodes before coming, but either way, I'm a huge bibliotherapist, which means I infuse books in a lot of my therapy and coaching and read for fun. And I just read everything. So I always like to ask people, do you have favorite books that you're reading for fun or inspired you? Or are you a dorky nonfiction reader? Like any of that going on that you want to share with us?
Man, I just finished a fantastic book by Blake Crouch. If any of your readers like sci-fi, he's a great one. It's called Upgrade. And what I really like about his books is that he infuses humanity and sort of not a corny lesson, but there's always kind of like a lesson in his sci-fi. And so I just finished that book called Upgrade today, which is fantastic. And I would recommend if you're just looking for sort of escapism with a twist of a lesson in it. And then I'm reading, my all-time favorite book is a book called You'll Grow Out of It by Jessie Klein. And she's a humorist, and she writes these beautiful essays just about life and love. And she has a new collection out about motherhood. And of course I'm blanking on the name of it. I can't think of what her new book is called. Anyway, I'm a couple of essays into it. And what I love about the way that she structured this book, if any of your listeners are mothers, is she writes about motherhood being the hero's journey, and how what is so beautiful about motherhood is its brokenness and how difficult it is and how you kind of have to lose yourself to find yourself in it. And she doesn't sugarcoat anything. And so if you're a mom who, like, you know, feels like it's really hard sometimes, and you weren't one of those people that was told they were glowing when they were pregnant, you will probably like her books.
That's awesome. Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been fun. Do you have any routines or anything that help you stay mentally healthy, physically healthy, spiritually healthy that you'd like to recommend to people?
Yeah. I am a big meditator. In the most basic white lady way you can meditate. I use like the Headspace app.
I love Headspace.
No frills.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just trying to get into it, it's fantastic. I'm a big runner and I'm into acupuncture. So those are probably my three like physical things that I guess meditation is also more mental, but, in terms of like spirituality, that's kind of complicated these days. I do have a faith life. I identify as Christian, although I grew up as Catholic. So that faith is a big part of my life, but where I am right now is that I am just kind of being okay with not having it all figured out. And that's been really freeing, because for a long time, if any of your listeners are Catholic, you know, you're kind of like held captive by all the rules of your faith. And so it's been nice to sort of let go and just kind of let it be what it is. But meditation and running and acupuncture and therapy, that's my regimen.
Yeah. And by the way, there's a huge population of people that consider themselves recovering Catholics.
I like that title. I want that on a t-shirt. recovering Catholic.
Yeah, and I'm one of them. I'm actually non-denominational now, and it's just been very freeing, and I can appreciate and enjoy other people's religion. And I still enjoy some of the Catholic tenets. Like I like how I like the meditative quietness of Mass, you know, but there's some things I could leave too. Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely. There's like some cultural Catholicism that I still follow. You know, if I lose something, I'm praying to St. Francis. You know, it's just those little things. I take communion, I make the sign of the cross. It just happens. But there is something cathartic about being like, but that's not it. That's not everything. Mm-hmm. If I don't do these things, it's not a problem, you know?
Right. Yeah. Okay, Kelly. Well, it's been wonderful having you on. How can people reach out to you if they have questions or want to know more about your work? I'll have your book in the show notes, but if people want to meet you, you know, or talk with you, how do they reach you?
Sure. The easiest way is to get in touch with me on Instagram. I'm at Kelly_Bandis. And same username on all the social media platforms, but Instagram's probably the easiest way to get in touch. And I always read my messages there. So that's probably the best way.
Okay. And the funny videos are on TikTok or Instagram Reels?
They're both. They're on TikTok and Instagram. Different characters on both. I do mostly, sketch comedy with different characters. The TikTok content skews a little younger. So if you have younger listeners, they might like TikTok better, but the funny videos are everywhere.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check it out. Are you dancing in any of them?
I promise I'm not.
Okay. That just took out some fun for me.
No, you wouldn't want to see me dancing. I would not have any followers.
Okay, Kelly. Well, it was a pleasure having you on today. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much, Karen. It was great to meet you.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.